Today's gospel reading comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. I'll read verses 8 through 17. John 14, 8 through 17. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the promise of your Spirit, which fills us who put our faith in you. Help us, Lord, to reflect well on this passage together and be glorified in our approach of your word, so that we might be transformed and made holy as you are holy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had a rather interesting week this week. It was a little bit frantic for a number of different reasons. Not the least of which is what happened to me on Wednesday morning. I have to set this up a little bit so you understand just how dramatic of an event this was. We don't have internet service here at the church, right? Because it's an expense that we don't really need to have, and I don't need to be playing, you know, games while I'm doing my thing here. That's okay. If I need to send emails, I can do that at home. You know, that's how it works. So I've got I do the work here on the church laptop, and then if I need to, I can take things home and work on them there. So I kind of work in two different spots, right? To facilitate this arrangement, for the past couple of years, as long as I've been here, I've saved all of my work on a flash drive. You know what I mean by a flash drive? This is sometimes called a thumb drive because it's about as big as your thumb. The little thing that sticks into your USB port and allows you to transfer files from one place to another. I back that up regularly, sort of, moderately regularly. And you're laughing because this is the reason why this is an issue. Wednesday morning, I plugged the flash drive into the computer, and nothing happened. And I thought, this is unusual. So I unplugged it and plugged it back in, and nothing happened. And I thought, this is really unusual. Normally, what's supposed to happen is the computer recognizes it's there, window pops up, everything's hunky-dory. And I've never used that term before either. How about that? It's one of those days. I reset the computer a couple of times, restarted it, you know, thinking maybe something was goofy in the computer. Nothing happened. Tried a different computer. Nothing happened. By this point, I'm getting a little worried because this is my brains. This is where all my stuff is, right? And it's not working. It's dead, basically. I don't know. Maybe, George, you can help me out with this afterwards. This is Melissa's fiance. Sorry to put you on the spot here, George. Melissa, Tara's sister, they're getting married in Midland here next month. One of the reasons for the trip here is so they can get a marriage license, because you got to do that. They're from California, and they're getting married here. This is wonderful. Anyway, George does computer stuff. That's why I just pointed him out. USB, the flash drive is gone. It's lost. And here I am Wednesday morning thinking, what in the world am I going to do? Because I back things up sort of regularly, sort of, but the last time I backed things up was just after Christmas. So that's not too regularly, is it? No. The moral of the story, that's, in case you're counting, 4 or 5 months worth of work. That's, I have paper copies of things, you know, so not all is lost, but I had a little bit of a rough time Wednesday morning. The moral of the story is a moral that I should have learned when I was a student in college at Taylor University, from which Leah Woodrum just graduated. She's also here today. Hi, Leah. She graduated yesterday from Taylor. This is a commercial for the Woodrum family. I was a computer science minor. I know it's for shame. I should have known better. When I was in college, I took a bunch of computer classes, and one of the mantras that they repeated over and over again, which I have repeated and not practiced, do as I say, not as I do, is this: Jesus saves, and so should you. And I thought I was doing a pretty good job of that, but there were a number of very fervent prayers on Wednesday morning that were sent up, but the Lord did not see fit to redeem that electronic data. When I realized what was going on, when I realized that this little piece of electronics that, in which I had come to put so much hope and faith, when I realized it was kaput, I began to think, you know, I might understand a little bit of what Philip is feeling like here in this passage from John 14. Philip says to Jesus, "Lord, just show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us." You see, the disciples are in this scene where Jesus is about to be betrayed. The 14th chapter of John is a very crucial moment in Jesus' life because Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray him, has already left after Jesus washed his feet and all the other disciples' feet in that upper room. Judas has gone on his mission to betray Jesus. And Jesus now spends the next 3 chapters talking about life and ministry and what everything is about until Judas comes back. This is right before he's betrayed and then crucified. Very crucial moment in Jesus' life, and he's trying to communicate to them what the kingdom is about and what his whole ministry is about and what they're going to need to do once he's gone. And Philip interrupts him, as a number of the others do at different times in this sequence, and he asks him this question, really more of a demand: just show us the Father. Just show us the Father, and that'll be enough. On Wednesday morning, I thought, just make this flash drive work one more time, and that'll be enough. Because if it comes on, you know, I'm going to pull everything off of it and be done with it. Smash it with a hammer and be done. But then I'll have everything safe. Philip says to Jesus kind of the same thing. Just show us the Father. We get it that you're leaving. We get it that this is really a kind of a crazy time in your life. We get it that Judas is going to maybe do something that's really bad. Just show us the Father. That'll be enough. Anxiety, frustration, fervency, impatience. What kinds of emotions could we read into Philip's question? That's always a challenge for us when we approach God's Word, to understand the emotional state of somebody who's saying something or acting in a certain way. What are they thinking? What are they feeling? Maybe Philip is feeling something along those lines. He wants God to give him good gifts. He wants Jesus to provide for his needs, his and the disciples' needs. In the past few weeks, and in a couple more weeks yet to come, we've been looking at different stories throughout John's Gospel, kind of tracing, jumping back and forth really, but tracing a thread of different stories through the life and ministry of Jesus. And the important theme that has connected all of these is that Jesus is giving gifts to his disciples. Not presents wrapped up with a bow, but intangible sorts of things that will sustain them for the journey that they have ahead. This week, the gift that we're focusing on is the gift of work, for those who work, the gift of truth for those who work. Jesus gives truth to those who work. Philip, as a representative of the disciples who will carry on the work of Jesus afterwards, needs to know what is true. Show us the Father. God the Father. Reveal to us the essence of who God the Father is. That'll be enough. That will be enough truth for us to sustain for the rest of our lives, even after you have gone from the scene. Jesus takes this opportunity, this question, this demand, really, to redirect Philip's thinking. How often do we need to have our thinking redirected? That was me on Wednesday morning when my flash drive was dying. I had to have my thinking redirected. I couldn't sit there and stew about this. I had to, keep moving. How often do we need our thinking redirected? Philip's problem, which is so easy for us to identify because we understand who Jesus is. Jesus is the fullness of God in human form. He is very God, a very God. Philip didn't quite get it. Just show us the Father and that'll be enough. Jesus says, you're looking at him. Paraphrasing. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's not that hard, Jesus says. I've been here all along. Philip didn't understand that God was there already. And in that sense, Philip has something in common with all of us. Philip, occasionally in his life, as we occasionally in our lives, sometimes we have spiritual blinders put up so that we're unable to see where God is, so that we're unable to remember the truth that God has revealed to us, and so that our questions of faith have the end result of satisfying our own curiosity, our own desires, our own wishes. Just show us the Father and that'll be enough. Jesus redirects the thinking of Philip here to say, you receiving the Father is really not what this was all about. You carrying on the work that I have begun is what this is about. This is why it's so important for us, especially those of us who work hard in the church or work hard in the world, to remember this truth. We can get so focused on what we're doing that our beliefs serve us rather than serving the Lord. We can get so focused on where we're going and the tasks that we have to do that what we believe ends up fueling us instead of our faith allowing us to fuel the work of God in the world. This is, again, not to harp on Wednesday morning, but this is what happened to me. I was in such an emotional state that everything I was thinking was trying to fuel me, when really what had to happen was the switch had to be flipped off, my anxiety had to be turned down a little bit, it was up to about 11 or so, and I had to get back to it, because that's what God has called us to do, to get to it. There's truth here in this passage of Scripture for those who work. What is that truth? It comes in how Jesus answers Philip's question or his demand. His answer in this passage is really eye-opening, for me anyway, and maybe it will be for you. Of course, his answer is, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, I and the Father are one. Jesus is very God, a very God, sure. But then he says something very crucial. The Father who is living in me is doing his work. I think that's really important for us to hear. The Father who is living in me is doing his work. In other words, God is at work. In particular, in the life of Jesus. And apparently that will follow that in the years that come, God will still be at work in the lives of the disciples who follow him. The Father is doing his work through Jesus. Jesus even will continue working after his departure from the world. He will continue working in his disciples. The work of God continues. So when we do the work that we do on behalf of the Lord, it's not us who work, but God who works in us. See, this is why it's so important for us to know this and to be challenged by this. When we who work hard at whatever we do, Paul says later on in the New Testament, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, whether it's in the church or in the world or somewhere in between, we work hard at it, but it is God working in us That is the right orientation. That is the right rethinking, reorienting of our thinking that we need to have. This is what Jesus tries to do for Philip. Show us the Father and that'll be enough. No, the Father lives in me, the Father lives in you, and you will continue the work that the Father has already begun. The promise of this gift, the promise of this reality, comes through the Holy Spirit that Jesus says will come after he leaves. I will give you another counselor. In Greek, it's paraklete. Parakletos, right, Leah? 4 semesters of Greek. You, oh boy, she's up there. Parakletos. What does that mean? Do you know? Pop quiz. She just graduated. It's all out of her brain now. Para meaning, preposition meaning what? Advocate, yes, yes. I was looking for literally parakletos. Para is a preposition that means along or beside, with, right? Yes, that's right. And then kletos, kaleo, to call. Yeah. The paraclete, the Holy Spirit. She passed the test. Whew. The paraclete, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the one who is called alongside. You said advocate, and I like that word better. The NIV uses the word counselor. And okay, a counselor is good. That's a healthy word to have there. The Holy Spirit's more than just a counselor. The Holy Spirit is the advocate. What is an advocate? It's someone that you bring alongside you to champion your cause, to make sure that what you are doing happens, to make sure that what you need to take place actually takes place, because perhaps you don't have the capacity to do it yourself. You need someone to stand along with you. An advocate. To advocate for what you believe is important. Jesus says, I will give you another advocate. He's one of them. And the Holy Spirit's the other. This is the Spirit of truth. It's the language Jesus uses here. Those who believe in Jesus are promised this Spirit to live in us, to live among us. It is this Spirit that enables us to participate in God's work, what He is already doing. We would not have the capacity to participate in the work of God on our own unless it were for the Spirit of God living in us. And in this way, belief in God, belief in Jesus, is intertwined with participating in His work. It is not enough simply to believe, but to participate completes the transaction. If you remember the passage Heather read for us from Romans 8 just a few minutes ago, we are to share in His sufferings. We who believe in Christ are to share in His sufferings. Do you remember that phrase? We are co-heirs with Christ. We inherit the kingdom of God, but we are to share in His sufferings. Wow, what in the world does that mean? Well, we'd have to, you know, expand that. That's a secondary text for today. That's not the sermon text, so we'll save that for another discussion another time. What does it mean to suffer with Christ? At the very least, it means that we are at work with Him, or rather that God is at work in us and through us, just as He was in the person of Jesus. Jesus calls us to know Him, to love Him, to obey Him, to accept the Spirit of truth that He gives to us, and to participate in the work that He is already doing in the world. We don't have to reinvent the wheel of faith and spirituality and ministry to the community. We just have to get on board with what He's already doing. This passage offers us a deep call to faith. True, honest faith that is not just superficial and not a reception of things that make us better. Philip said, Lord, just show us the Father and all our anxieties will go away. We'll know what we're supposed to do. It offers a call to faith that is much deeper than that. It is faith as personal cooperation with the truth. Jesus said in response to Philip's question, those who believe in me will do greater things than what I've done. Really? Greater things than what I've done? This is just a few chapters after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Really? Greater things than what He's done? This is after he's changed water into wine. This is after he's fed the 5,000. This is before he has raised himself from the dead as the sacrifice for all humanity and their sins. Really? Those who believe in Jesus will do greater things than what he has accomplished? This has kind of baffled scholars for many, many centuries. One good idea I think that we can take out of it is he means greater in the sense of broadness or the span of the influence of the kingdom of God. Jesus was able to influence 12 guys and those that they could influence there. But look at what has happened. The church has spread around the world. You will do greater things, wider spreading things. The kingdom of God will spread throughout the whole world. Jesus wasn't able to do that just by himself. See, it took the cooperation of the people of God with him to bring that about. It includes this real, honest faith that is deeper than just personal reception of truth. This includes repentance and forgiveness of sins, which are themes that will come later in John's gospel. But at this point in the story, it includes this mysterious, mystical thing of being filled with the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit of God, participating with God's work. Today is a special day in the life of the church. It's a day called Pentecost. Are you aware of Pentecost and what it means? This is the day when the Easter season ends. That's why our Easter decorations have gone now. They were up until last week because it was still the season of Easter. But now today is Pentecost. 50 days or so after Jesus rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the early church, on those disciples who were here at this point earlier, and those who were gathered with them. It's all recorded in Acts 2, and many churches today around the world will focus on Acts 2 as the primary reading for the day. It's the day when the church was born, when the Spirit was poured out on the believers there. What is Pentecost? But listening for the voice of the truth that is God and agreeing with that voice. Do you remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? They were speaking in tongues. Now, these were not babbling tongues that could not be comprehended, right? But they were real languages that were spoken by the people who had been gathered in Jerusalem for the festival there. The Jewish festival, Pentecost. It's older than Christianity. Got repurposed by the Holy Spirit there. Yeah, the disciples began speaking in these other languages. So the word of God would go out to all sorts of people around the world. You'll do greater things than I've been able to done. Jesus only spoke a handful of languages, you see. His disciples were able to communicate the word of God with so many more people that it spread through the known world and continued even up to today. Pentecost is the day of listening for the voice of God and agreeing with his voice. Where do we hear the voice of God in our community today? Where can we get on board with what God is already doing? Remember, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. I've got three examples of God at work in our community. I just want to touch on them briefly so that you can be aware of them and maybe participate in them when the need arises or when the opportunity arises. One of them I mentioned to you last week, if you were here last week, this work camp, the high school work camp called Call to the Creek 3. It's the third high school work camp that is going to happen here next summer, July 2014. It is a group work camp. The company called Group will invite high schoolers from all around the country to descend on this place, our area, the Bullet Creek area, and they will do home improvement projects, home repair projects as a service to our community. Even now, we're beginning the process of identifying those homes that could benefit from wheelchair ramps for folks who are disabled, for siding repairs, for painting needs. If you've got a home that needs painted, they can do that. Even if you have a home that needs a roof, they might be able to pull that off too and put it back on. That's a joke. Just seeing if you're paying attention. We're starting that process now. Flyers for signing up for your home to be one of these homes are still in the process of being printed, but I'm hopeful that they'll come any time now. We'll have a stack of them here. That's how we're going to distribute them through the community. So be looking for those. If it's your home that needs it, sign up. If it's a neighbor's home or a family member's home that might need it in this community, sign them up. talk to them first, make sure they know what's going on. But this is a really neat opportunity for us to be involved in making life a better thing for people in our community. Now, it's great that the kids are going to be coming from all over the country, doing all this work, and then leaving. What's even better is that the area churches that are in this particular part of the county are going to be collaborating with all of these kids to meet the folks that are getting the work done on their homes, to build relationships with them, and to let them know this is connected to churches that care about people in your area. The kids are going to go back to their homes, to, you know, Washington or Florida or wherever they're coming from, but we're still going to be here. And we can still be friends. We can still build relationships with them. We're going to get to participate with that. More on that in about a year. It takes some time to plan these kinds of things. That's one. A second way that God is at work in our community is through a very exciting opportunity that's just opened up at Messiah Lutheran's campus. Have you seen the garage that they've built on their property there? It's on the corner of Poseyville and Gordonville right there. You know, Messiah Lutheran Big Church right out there. They have built a 12-bay car garage, auto repair garage. It's called His Hands Auto Care. This is not in competition with other local businesses. In fact, other local businesses have cooperated with this and want to see it succeed. The work is going to be done by Delta College students and other students who need internships. And the folks who will benefit from this are people who are not financially able to get car repairs done on their own. Might be us on occasion. Might be people that we know on occasion. It works through a referral. A church or an organization will refer the individual to the His Hands Auto Care. You get the work done, and you pay less than you would have done at the other shop. It's not in competition. There are other ways of the money's getting transferred, and it's all on the up, all above table here. Brief introduction. His Hands Auto Care just opened up this past week. Look for it. Celebrate it. This is work that God is doing in our community to bring about righteousness, to bring about wholeness, fullness of life. How many times are there folks in our community who have needs like this? And we wish we could do something about it. Well, now there's a centralized sort of a place for that to happen if we can't do it ourselves. It's a really good opportunity for us to cooperate with other believers. A third opportunity of joining with what God is doing in our community is this Midland Neighboring thing that you have as an insert and in your bulletin and as a magnet. This is a refrigerator magnet. This is an organization of pastors and churches. Midland Neighboring is a new thing. It's about a year old. Pastors in the area, in the Midland area, Midland Town and the surrounding area, decided, you know, we need to be better neighbors. We need to put into practice what Jesus said the greatest commandment was, which is to love God with everything you are, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, we can't do a very good job, we said, we can't do a very good job of loving our neighbors if we don't know who our neighbors are. So the idea behind this Midland Neighboring thing is really very simple. Get to know your neighbors. Now, some of you have lived here for, you know, a few years, and you know your neighbors. Sometimes those neighbors change when people move. Do you know everybody who lives around your house? The red house there is you, so you can put your, you know, your name there. And then in sort of general directions, maybe there aren't houses surrounding your house, but sort of that way is somebody and that way is somebody else. Maybe there are people sort of around you that you can fill in their names. Do you know who lives around you? If not, just find out who they are. Get to know their names and put their names on your thing and remember to pray for them. That's all this is. A reminder for us to know who is around us and to lift them up in prayer that God would meet their needs, that God would use us to build relationships that support them. This particular day is a day of emphasis for Midland Neighboring, for all those churches in Midland, in the Midland County area, that are participating in this kind of a drive. These kinds of magnets and flyers are being passed out all through churches, all through Midland today. And the one pastor who's kind of heading it up said to me when I saw him on Wednesday, that was a big day for me, Wednesday. He said, you know, it's really neat, this is happening on Pentecost. I said, yeah, it is. This is Pentecost. What happened on Pentecost? Many voices, many languages, one message. This is what we're doing today. This is what we should be doing all the time. Many voices, many languages, one mission. We are not in competition with other church groups. This is part of how I interpret what it means to be Church of God. And I understand this is not how it's always been in the Church of God. 100 years ago, I would have been excommunicated from this group. Not this church, well maybe, but this church wasn't around 100 years ago. I would have been kicked out of the Church of God Anderson 100 years ago for saying this. But I think this is really what being Church of God is about. It's about getting on board with what God is doing already in the world around us. We reach our hands in fellowship to every blood-washed one. That's one of the lines from one of our hymns that was written about 100 years ago. And what we meant when we said that 100 years ago was much different than what I'm meaning right now, because it meant they had to be part of us. But I think on a day like today, a day like Pentecost, we can recognize that God is at work in our community. We can celebrate it. And we can participate in it because it's His work. It's not our work. He's been at this all along. And we can cooperate with Christians of other stripes and other flavors, so long as we agree on the core things, that Jesus is God, that He died for our sins and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Now, I'm not going to go building a creed. Don't worry, we're non-creedal. That's Church of God too. Other church groups do that, but that's neither here nor there. We just reach our hands in fellowship to those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are children of God, and so are many other people in our community. God is at work in our community. The Spirit of God is living and moving among us. And on this day, the birthday of the church, the community activities that we have going around us are interdenominational, and we should be excited by that. And the Spirit of truth speaks to us individually, calling us to repentance and forgiveness, calling us to be filled with that Spirit so that we individually might participate with the work of God too. There's an individual component, there's a corporate component. All of it adds up to the filling of the Holy Spirit so that the kingdom of God might grow, the work of God might continue in the world around us. There is truth for those who work. Let us pray fervently, even as I prayed last Wednesday fervently for something much less important than this. Let us pray fervently to receive that Spirit on a daily basis and to participate in the work that that Spirit is accomplishing. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks this day that the church has grown 1 year older. We thank you for the work that you are doing in our community and the work that you are doing in our lives. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would fill us, even as it did on that first day of Pentecost, so that we might be assured of the truth of the gospel and that we might be propelled forward on mission to share the truth of the gospel with those who live around us. Help us, Lord, to be good neighbors and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves and to participate in the things that you are doing in this community so that your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you and to be unafraid in times that might seem fearful otherwise, because we know that your Spirit lives in those who call you Lord. We thank you for this great gift. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.